Asylum.
Das Zürcher Radio. Wo Studis? Für Studis.
My gap year, I worked at a luxury resort because I knew the daughter of the director.
Well, hello.
Yes, sir. And I, for some reason, they were like missing people to take care of the kids, like daycare.
Okay.
So they just put me into daycare. And I have no education or no training with children.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to take care of them. It was like 8 to 10 hours a day, just little kids. And they weren't like normal kids. They were like really, really rich kids.
Wait, so do rich kids cry differently? Or do they cry more?
They cry tears of money. I don't know what it is.
I reckon you had your bucket ready.
No, it was crazy. They were such spoiled little brats. I hate to say this, but all of them. I mean, I had from age 4 to 12.
Oh, God. Those 12-year-olds, I reckon they just started to know what that stuff's up.
Yeah. I feel like the worst ones were like the 6-year-olds. I had this like kid of a Russian oligarch.
Okay, hold on a minute. Where was this resort again?
This was in Villars-sur-Ollon.
Okay, to all our French-speaking friends, yep. I presume.
Yes.
You know where that is. And the others, like me. Is this Switzerland?
I reckon it's Switzerland. Yes, it's
no surprise.
Valais.
Ah, yes. That's cool.
I had the children of the Saudi Arabian princess, and they were actually really nice.
I'm surprised they would let you take care of them.
I know, right?
We would love to know the backstory.
I'm telling you, like I knew the daughter who was like the director of the hotel. He was employed to be the manager, like the top manager.
Damn.
Yeah. He used to work at Mövenpick and then...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I see you in the business, man. That's very cool.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, met her overseas.
I think at this point, by the way, we should also tell our listeners that yes, there's two of us here in the studio today.
Yes, oh yeah. Let's do the introduction.
Let's do the introductions, like a proper show. So some of you might know me already. I'm Bart, like the guy from The Simpsons, as always. And I'm here with...
Andre.
Yes. Welcome to the studio, man.
Thank you very much. Welcome. Pleasure to be here.
I mean, same for me, man, especially knowing that you know, have some oligarch money, so
right, stay in touch after this. I have some connections. Stay friends.
But the great thing about you being here today is it's your first, let's call it proper radio show.
My debut.
And ladies and gentlemen, it's only going to go uphill from here.
Yeah. Be prepared. we're going to go crazy soon.
Yes, and I think crazy is really the keyword for today.
It is, yes. Crazy is the keyword. That's a very nice transition.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm doing this for a living, man. Yeah. So, please take it away. Introduce us. What's the thing you brought us here today?
So we decided that we were going to talk about conspiracies today, right?
Yes. yes, we did.
And we kind of got onto this just because we wanted to do something that was a little current.
Yes.
But it was kind of hard to find a lot of current stuff. Right.
Yeah, because there's two reasons for this, no? There's so much crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And so there's so much to choose from. And now the election in the US happened, so of course there was a barrage of just constantly new stuff day to day. The most current thing that blew up the most in the years before was, I think, during the corona pandemic.
Yeah.
The classics, we talked about it before, the Bill Gates, microchips.
All the QAnon stuff.
QAnon stuff.
I'm in for it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm in for it.
He's in deep.
I mean, it is sad when your friends turn crazy.
Yeah.
But there is some humor in it, right? How can you believe
that? I think without humor, you're going to go crazy and just
fall
into a pit of despair. Like I had this moment a couple of times. Some of my closest friends, you know, they turn into believing those 5G theories, Bill Gates chips even.
We all know one, at least one.
Yeah. And it takes a lot to learn how to talk with these kind of people. Mm-hmm. And it can be really difficult. But for today...
For today.
We don't have one like this.
No tears.
This is going to be a fun one for everyone. Because even if you believe in this, it's still fun, I reckon.
Right. I hope, yeah.
I hope it is.
I think we're not going to go too much into like crazy political stuff.
No. Well, why don't you give us the main focus of this?
Right.
So it might be surprising to many. When speaking about conspiracy theories, this is not on the top 10 list, I reckon.
I don't think it. I think it's a little underrated.
Definitely. I gotta say, this is one I have not heard of before.
Yeah.
Although I have played the game it's about.
So, I was looking through the depths of the internet, on Reddit, actually, and I found...
Our favorite platform.
Yes, our very favorite platform, right after 4chan.
Of course.
So, I found that between the 1980s and 1990s, there was a kind of mass hysteria about the game Dungeons & Dragons.
All right, let's backpedal here a bit.
Yeah.
First of all, I didn't know this game was this old.
Yeah, didn't know either.
So we should...
Yeah, you should explain it. I should explain the game. You were the pro.
I should say full disclosure to our audience at home. I reckon many of you know the game at least from hearing about it, Dungeons & Dragons, because up to 2 weeks before today, I have only, you know, heard the name pop up every now and then, so yep. I was convinced it was just a computer game.
But
which
it's not.
Clearly, if it takes place in when? In the 80s? It clearly
isn't.
Yeah,
it clearly is not.
It clearly is not. And it's essentially a board game which nowadays is played... It's great to play online with friends. And there's essentially... It's like a... how do we say this? It's like
a
fairy tale kind of thing.
It's a role-playing game.
Yes, it's a role-playing game.
It is a role-playing
game.
So
you know more about this than I do. Very cool.
Yeah, I mean, I researched. I did my homework. It is a role-playing game.
It is homework. And I played it, and I did not fall asleep while playing it, I promise you. Although it was very long. It took 4 hours.
Really?
One round, yes.
I thought that sounds pretty short. I thought they would do a lot longer.
Yes, they can go... up to double digits in hours.
Really?
Easily.
That's... okay.
Yeah. I mean... But luckily for my first one, we stuck to four hours only. And a good friend of mine, he was the dungeon master.
Right. So right. There is one player, I think, who crafts the story. So
yes,
it is
exactly.
Different every time you
yes.
play it.
Yes. And this person, the dungeon master, he is in charge of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
He designs exactly the story. He designs the locations, all that stuff. And when playing online, he shows them to you. So in our case, my friend, he had access to the Dungeons & Dragons official 3D models. So he could move me and my friends around the arena, let's say. And we could see it live where we were at in the house, for example, which door we could, see which one could open.
Right.
And we would tell him, for example, we want to go to this door, right?
And
he would place us there and he would tell us, for example, if the door is locked or unlocked. And then the one in our team that had the possibility to lockpick doors.
You're right. You are like a character, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then that role, the lockpicker, he could go and, the way it works is,
you
which is why
dice.
It was famous in the 80s, exactly. Yeah. You roll dice. And the game master, he has a list exactly. He knows which values you roll and what they do in the game. So he would tell you if the lockpicking was successful or not, depending on what you rolled.
Yeah.
And in my case, I couldn't lockpick with my character.
Yeah.
But I had some strength. So every single time there was a door, I tried to just bash through it.
And it never worked.
It never worked. So all of this to say that, yes, that's how it worked in the 80s. You just need a pair of dice and a piece of paper, and you're good to go.
Sounds fun. It sounds great.
Hell yeah. It's playable by everyone.
I have one follow-up question.
Yes.
So when you say you're pretty much free to do whatever, you're a character with having some strength.
Mm-hmm.
Could you just decide to just go to the gym for a few hours and then increase your strength and increase your odds? Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's no gym in the game.
Okay.
Partly because it's Dungeons and Dragons.
Right. It doesn't sound like a place where
yes, they didn't have the gym technology back then. But what they do have in this game,
gym technology, weights, high tech weights.
That's what I say whenever I go to the gym. Every time, I'm gonna do some crazy tech today. and yes, essentially, before even the game starts, you create your character.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a couple, and you do this online nowadays, so it's super easy.
Right.
The website tells you exactly what you can do, what kind of level you want to be in, what aspect, and you do it in partnership with the game master, so all players at the same level. And in there you can, you have different stats you can push. I push strength big time.
Yeah.
And luck.
And luck. That's a good one. That's a good one to take.
So but still, I did not manage to break through doors.
Well, I assume it's not up to luck, is it?
Well, that's a question for the next round to decide. Yes, we had a blast playing this. I never played this before. And the time, it flew by real quick. So
yeah.
I see how people can play this for 16 hours on end as well.
I mean, you're with people, right?
Exactly. So, you're with people. That's the fun thing.
Yeah.
In our case, the game master, he was really, he was putting in so much into this, he had
so
background
sweet.
Music and all that
oh
stuff.
Oh my God.
Bro, it was so cool.
It makes me want to play.
Effects.
Oh
yeah, no.
My God, this makes me want to play.
You know what we'll do? I'll talk to him, whenever he does his next one.
Oh, I get to be in the session.
Hell yeah, I'll let you know when it's taking place.
Oh my God.
Maybe we can do something.
That would be great.
That would be great.
I will, but I will not push luck.
Well, who knows?
What about literacy? Is that
I don't remember literacy. Oh, no.
Literacy
there's something. No, I don't think it was called like this, but there was something with languages, so you could understand like orc languages or something.
Oh, okay.
Ancient languages. So when there was like a scripture you find, someone could understand this, maybe, hopefully, and maybe find like a treasure or something.
So I'm going to spend my free time being a badass translator fictionally.
Yes. For 8 hours.
For 8 hours. Okay. Sign me up.
Oh, nice. Cool. I like, by the way, that we were not professional at this game, but yet we still make a radio show about it.
Yeah. True. Yeah. We have no idea what this is about.
But yeah. I just played it once for 4 hours.
And I read an article.
It was a blast. You read an article. But the shining piece of today's show is not the game itself.
Right.
But
back to the topic.
The panic around it.
Exactly.
And so, you found some juice.
I found some juice. Love for you to yeah. Use so during the 1980s, 1990s, basically there was a string of unfortunate occurrences, mostly including like a little bit of murder, a little bit of suicide, not very fun things.
It sounds quite unfortunate.
Yes, but basically all the people involved played Dungeons & Dragons. And the
now
media...
Is that coincidence, correlation,
right.
Or causation?
Well, I mean, obviously the media just saw it happen once and then just found, like, just selected other, you know, occurrences that also had the people in it play Dungeons and Dragons or were obsessed with it. And then they attributed these things to Dungeons and Dragons. So they kind of assumed that this game makes people sick. I think there was also, importantly, one of the mothers of one of the children who got involved in this or who died or I don't quite remember, but she basically started like a whole foundation called BAD. B-A-D-D, standing for Bothered by Dungeons and Dragons. Bothered about Dungeons and Dragons.
I mean, that's pretty funny.
Right.
It doesn't sound very severe.
It doesn't sound very severe.
I'm just bothered by it.
Yeah,
you know, it just irks me the wrong way.
I'm surprised too. Yeah, it's like not a very impactful name.
No, it just seems like she's just annoyed that her kid plays it all day.
Well, the kid is dead, so...
Oh.
Yeah, well. The kid is dead.
And with this, we'll take a break. I'm kidding.
leave it at that. A cliffhanger right there.
Okay, so I reckon the kid died because of Dungeons and Dragons somehow.
Actually, let's pull it up. So
I'm surprised there's no Netflix series about this yet.
Oh, yeah.
They do all murders.
I assume there's like some show or like some, at least some YouTube, like...
Yeah,
you know, so there has to be something about it.
There must be something.
Yeah, so a kid just committed suicide in 1982. And basically he was, I think it was later speculated that he was transsexual and had other like issues. And he came from a very strict Christian household, transsexuality and Christian household, something that doesn't fit very well in general, right?
Yeah, especially back then.
You're right, especially back then, yeah. And basically, he just had a lot of mental issues.
Mm-hmm.
And he killed himself. And
well, I mean, we're keeping it light here, folks.
Right, right.
So it's a family show.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
no, absolutely.
I'll try to use nicer language.
No, absolutely no stress. This is crazy. And how was this linked to Dungeons & Dragons?
Basically, he just... Like Dungeons and Dragons was one of his comfort things. He played it in his school with friends, and I think the principal also advocated for these type of games because he wanted to have, you know, people who didn't have a lot of friends find friends through it.
Yeah, and he understood that this game is harmless.
Right, he understood it. Yeah, but basically, during her grief, she kind of looked for reasons that her child committed suicide, and you know, when you're in a very strict Christian household, things like Dungeons and Dragons with spells can seem maybe, I don't know.
Satanic,
yeah. And I mean, she's from Richmond, Virginia, you know. So I think it started with lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
And then she basically started having a whole media campaign. So the media ate it up too, right? I think I need to talk more into the microphone.
I think you sound beautifully.
Really?
Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Chris AF.
Okay. That's a relief.
Sure thing, man. I'm sure our fans at home appreciate the stuff out of you.
They will. The fans.
The fans, man.
Like my mom, who knows that I'm here today.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe my little sister.
They must be jumping up to the roof right now.
They are so proud of me. She also always says I'm a very handsome young man.
Well, I can only confirm that.
Oh my God.
I mean, holy
shit.
Come
on, I'm here to further my career, not get ego boosted.
Exactly, exactly. We have a meeting with Netflix next week.
Yeah, exactly.
About filming a Dungeons & Dragons conspiracy show. Shout out to Netflix.
Yeah, shout out to Netflix. Big fan.
Big fan,
I just
yes.
canceled my subscription yesterday.
All right, we will cut this out.
We're just messing around now. Okay, come on.
We love Netflix.
We love Netflix. Yeah, she claimed that Dungeons & Dragons, just the game, I guess, in general, had put a curse on her son.
Oh, boy.
Right. And this, I don't know, I think this is just one of the main things that contributed to this whole media scare. It was kind of a mass hysteria. I think everyone was kind of very scared of Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, and I see here, coming up in this article.
Yeah.
It's a 60 minutes interview. So yep. She went all out with this.
She went all out.
The media, they
ate it. They ate it. They loved it. I can't see right now where this was aired, this 60 minute interview, but I assume it wasn't her only one, right? Or maybe it was like, the whole thing was pretty crazy, I think. So it must have been not the only interview, not even that she gave, but I'm guessing some like crazy psychologist or something too, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, there must have been many people involved in this.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Crazy. And so what was she the only case or was there another one?
No, this was she was more kind of like the last straw.
Okay.
The first one that kind of started this whole thing was, I quote here, the disappearance of James Dallas Egbert III.
James Dallas Egbert III.
Yes, a interesting name, but
it really is.
Egbert III. But basically, he was kind of a kid genius. He majored in computer science at the age of 16, so that's pretty young. But he was stricken by grief, so this guy was really depressed.
Okay.
And he had tried to take his life. Basically, took a lot of pills and then wandered off into. Yeah, he went into steam tunnels.
Steam tunnels.
Right, I think that's like some underground housing stuff.
Okay.
So he just went underground, like in his days, in his pill days. And he kind of went missing.
Yes.
He went to a friend and everything, but he was missing for like more than a month. And during that time, he had tried to commit suicide.
Okay.
Another two times or something.
And how is this happy story combined with D&D?
So he was a adamant D&D player. During his time he went missing, he even went to a convention.
Oh.
And later, after he was found again, he went to, I don't know, he went in care or back to his family. But then in the end, after another attempt of suicide, he did succeed. And in his room, left over was a open board of Dungeons & Dragons with the manual and a card laid out very symmetrically.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Right. So they
recent Netflix stuff.
Exactly. So they obviously. Right. This is the first thing you think about.
Yep. It's Netflix.
Satanic.
Ah,
right.
Well, yes, satanic. Of
satanic
course.
Stuff. Yes. So yeah, so Egbert had administered a self-inflicting gunshot wound, leaving him brain dead on life support. 5 days later, on August 16th, the hospital spokesman at the time announced that Egbert had passed away.
Which year was this?
This was in...
In the 80s?
This was in the 80s. It must have been pretty early because this was the first case. Yeah, 1997.
79.
79. I always mix the two up.
Noise. That's the German influence.
Specifically 97 and 89. No, not 89. 98. 97. It's getting worse and worse.
So we were stuck in it now.
Wait, let me pull up the original article. Wait, this is kind of... Here. This is the... See, the here. It reads, intellectual fantasy game.
Mm-hmm.
In the highly complex fantasy game, players assume the role of contrived medieval characters who oppose each other in war campaigns. It was said that Dallas, who graduated from high school at the age of 14 and who had an IQ above 140, was attracted to the game by its intellectual challenge. He was found last September 12th in another state by a private investigator, William Deer of Dallas, who was engaged by his parents. The circumstances of disappearance have never been explained, and Mr. Deer and the parents have refused to give details. Since last Monday, the parents, Anna and James... This is all really unimportant. Where was it? Here. Sorry.
We leave this in, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we leave it. Yeah. Sorry. I should have prepared better.
No, absolutely no sense.
Okay, I'll read it. Dallas, the youth, was disappeared August 15th from him, from his room on the Michigan State University campus, leaving a suicide note and a paraphernalia of a game called Dungeons and Dragons. Some investigators speculated that the note and pins placed in geometrical pattern on the board in his room and had somehow been associated with the game, and there was speculation that he was playing a version of the game in a network of steam tunnels under the campus. So this is where the whole myth originated.
So that's like where it all started.
I think this is where it all started, according to this article. Yeah.
And then the media was more familiar with the game. And
yeah.
It was easy to blame it, I reckon, for stuff. Eh?
I think this was more of kind of like a warning shot. You know, they were like, oh, so this was on their radar. And then when another case happened a few years later where Dungeons and Dragons was involved, they pinned it on it.
Came back.
Yeah.
All right, then let's take a quick break.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they will be right back with the third and final case.
Yes, sir.
Of Dungeons and Dragons.
No clapping.
Netflix edition.
Radio LoRa 97.5 MHz. For LoRa to be broadcasting to megahertz, We need your participation. Be part of this valuable project. As a non-commercial and non-profit radio station, Laura is depending on donations by listeners and supporters. Your help provides future operations and development of